the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam. Today, Sunday, is the first of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we bless this moment by recitation of chapter Falaq. Let's listen to it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq.
Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of Daybreak.
Min sharri ma khalaq.
From the evil of that which he created. And from the evil of darkness when it settles. And from the evil of the blowers in knots. And from the evil of an envier when he envies.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, "The decay of religion is envy, arrogance, and pride." Dear friend, it is because an envious person, in fact, protests the divine wisdom of why he has given such blessings to some people and have covered them under his grace. For the reproach of envy, it is enough to mention, as an example, the first slaying that man committed in the world where Cain killed his brother Abel, and the motive was envy. The envious ones have always been one of the hindrances on the way of prophets and saints. And that is why the Holy Quran commands the Holy Prophet to take refuge with the Lord of the Dawn.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Now let's look at the jealousy in the view of Islam. Jealousy refers to the desire that a person feels for the destruction or removal of a blessing that another person has, a destruction which the bearer of this feeling would himself carry out if he had the power to do so. This is quite different to wanting such blessings for oneself while not wishing for them to be removed from others, for that is indeed a positive and commendable desire that leads to competition. Competition is not considered blameworthy in general. Rather, it is considered to be praiseworthy if it is in pursuit of righteousness. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "Do not envy one another. Do not hate one another. Do not turn your back on one another in discontent, but be servants of Allah as brothers."
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. One of the abominable characteristics, or immoral characteristics, is jealousy. Now we find that in sources and books on moral education, we find that there are various reasons for jealousy. One of them is that we may not want any kind of grace or any kind of favor to be attached to someone else. It implies that, the jealous person isn't happy with the divine decision and with the divine act of providing someone else with some graces or some aspects of convenience. Another one is that some people have been trained in such a way, living in such a way that they can hardly realize and see the still regarding the benefits, regarding the convenience of other people. At the same time, the jealous person finds him or herself to have some sort of inferiority complex, in that he or she believes that he or she cannot make any progress or cannot make excel in his or her life in order to come up higher in his or her social status. So he or she would start backbiting other people or feeling jealous about other people. Now we find that those people who feel jealous about other people, they are very egocentric, and they want only to be they want themselves to be only in view, while it isn't always the case. It cannot take place easily. Another reason for feeling jealous about someone else is some sort of an air of animosity. Those people who feel very much, hatred regarding someone else, or they are enemies of each other, in some respects, okay? We find that in such cases, someone else may not see the still and find that his or her friend or colleague, or for example, the former classmate, has made some sort of progress in his or her life.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling, I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying. Lord, I'm calling, I need your help. Astaghfirullah.
As the previous episode of today's special, we'll look at the steps to overcoming envy. The step that we speak about it today is increasing your knowledge. Many of us envy others, whether our Facebook friends or celebrities, without having full knowledge of their lives. Never criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Yes, that is an interesting American Indian proverb. When we compare our lives to others, we don't take into consideration the whole picture. Several examples come to mind that involve celebrities. Demi Moore, the graced the covers of magazines for years as having it all, including a much younger man. She was beautiful, successful, and appeared as if she discovered the fountain of youth, but we've had a glimpse of the other side of her not so glamorous life. She is currently in rehab due to her various addictions. Many celebrities fear aging and gaining weight so much they deprive themselves of nourishing sustenance in order to maintain relevant and remain in the public eye. If we know all this about our favorite envied individual, would we still want to have that life? Would it not make our life seem more stable by comparison?
يا رجائي
previous episode of today's special, we spoke about kinds of jealousy, the good one, and envy, the bad one. Islam has divided jealousy into two kinds, good jealousy and envy. Envy or hasad. The Arabic word of envy is known as hasad. Hasad is the particular bitterness that comes about when we want something that belongs to someone else. We feel envious of them that they have this or that and we do not. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, was very vocal about the insidious nature of jealousy. He instructed his companions to beware of envy because it would destroy good deeds just as fire destroys the forest.
Now, it doesn't matter if you have the money or don't have the money. Sometimes you find some people, they tell them, stop talking about this person. He says, no, I have money too. Why should I come and talk? Why should I become jealous? But this person, in reality, they are jealous. Why should I be jealous of another person if they have money? I also have money. It doesn't matter. Sometimes a person who has money, but they're very jealous from another person who also has money, because they want to be the only one. Sometimes a person, he's a scholar, he's a knowledgeable person, he's the one who all the eyes are on him, he has all the prestige, the status, everything is on him. And then another person comes and he says, no, I don't want that person. I want all the lights to be shining on me. Now, whether this person has or doesn't have, a person can be jealous. Whether they want that thing for themselves or they don't want it for themselves. For example, someone has a respectable position. I don't want that person's position, but I come and I say, no, this person, I wish that this person loses it. So it doesn't matter if I'm taking it or I'm not taking it, I have that status or I don't have that status. It is tamanni zawal al-ni'mah, wishing for the ni'mah, the blessing, to be removed from that person's life. The moment a person begins to wish, the moment a person begins to act upon it through their tongue, through their actions, through their mouth, through their hands, saying something, doing anything, acting upon it, this becomes jealousy and it becomes haram, one of the great sins. Now, when does jealousy not become haram? Because jealousy, it's a feeling in the heart. Sometimes some people, they say, I can't control what happens in my heart. I have no control of what's going on in my heart. It's an emotion. Yes. We have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. Rasulullah says, Rufi'a an ummati tis'. 9 things have been lifted from my ummah. They're not going to be held accountable for these. One of them is the jealousy that is not acted upon.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of the Prophet of Islam. Reasonless laughter is a sign of ignorance.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous episodes, we spoke about the souls of the believers in the barzakh or in the purgatory. In this episode, we will speak about the opposite group of people, the disbelievers, the kuffar, those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, as we mentioned in our previous episode when we spoke about the barzakh, we mentioned that what it actually is something that is a hotly debated subject between the theologians, the philosophers, and the mystics. And the actual essence or in, to put it in philosophical terms, the quiddity of what this actual realm is not something that we can know intellectually. But what we do know is that there is a type of realm. So basically, again, like in the previous one, what we notice is that the Imam alayhi salam mentions the word Jahannam or hell or a fire. So this will immediately take our minds to understand that, you know, oh, why are we saying Barzakh? Why are we saying that this is a realm between the two realms? What we understand from the last part of the tradition, like in the other one, is that these people are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the final hour, which indicates that the final hour or the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, the day of retribution, whatever you want to call it, has not occurred yet. But these people are already in torment, already being punished, and so on and so forth. So the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is reported to have said that the souls of disbelievers are in the fire of hell. Again, as I mentioned, the word Jahannam is mentioned, or the word Nar is mentioned, but it is not the final Nar, it is not the final fire. Right? So the souls of disbelievers are in the fire of hell, exposed to it. So what may be possible is that, you know, because there is a link between the realms, that fire that is already there is just, you know, manifesting a small part of itself to these individuals. And even that they cannot bear. You know, they are being tormented by even that small manifestation. And they're being tormented by it. So imagine the real thing. This is one of the explanations that the theologians may give. So the souls of disbelievers are in the fire of hell, exposed to it, saying, and this is where we understand that the final hour has not happened from this verse, "Our Lord, delay the final hour." Why? Because if we go there, the punishment will be tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold. "And do not fulfill what you warned us against." That you warned us against the punishment, you warned us against the fire, you warned us against the chastisement. But we did not listen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from this group of people and to put us amongst the believers, inshallah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we're going to listen to a recitation recited by that famous reciter, and after it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation recited by Brother Karim Mansouri. He is an Iranian Qari who was born in 1968 in the city of Abadan, Khuzestan province. At the age of 12, he started to learn the recitation of the Noble Quran professionally, and within a short period of time, he became a very good reciter. Some of his recitation masters were Brother Abdullah Zadeh, Brother Rekabi, and Brother Garusi. He also learned tajweed under the care of some masters such as Brother Khuddam Husseini and Brother Arbabi. When he was 20 years old, he took part in the National Quran Recitation Competition and managed to become among the top three. In 1990, he experienced his first participation in International Quran Recitation Competition in Malaysia, where he ranked second. He also ranked second in the International Quran Recitation Competition in Saudi Arabia in 1992, and when he got back to Iran, he, along with Mr. Parhizgar, visited the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, and Ayatollah Khamenei advised him to memorize the Noble Quran completely, and he did so within 11 months. In 1997, he ranked first in the Islamic Republic of Iran's Holy Quran recitation competition. His voice and style is very similar to the recitations of late Abdul Basit. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Qadr, as well as Surah Al-Zilzal, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Qadr, as well as Surah Al-Zilzal, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Surah Al-Qadr, at the beginning we have a Maddul Munfasil. Inna anzalna.
A disjunct mat.
Yes, that's right. And Brother Karim Mansouri, he lengthens this mad to about four vowel counts. And which is called tawassut. When you lengthen mad al-munfasil to four vowel counts, it's called tawassut.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it's lengthened to two vowel counts, it's called qasr.
That is the shortest.
And whenever it's lengthened to five vowel counts, it's called fawq tawassut.
That is upper than
higher
level.
Than the intermediate level. And we also have ikhfa of nun sakina in the word anzalnahu. Ikhfa is one of the rules of nun sakina. You have to apply this rule whenever you have a nun sakina followed by one of the letters of ikhfa of nun sakina. And we have a lot of letters that are letters of ikhfa, but you don't need to memorize them, like we said. They're حروف ما بقي, whatever remains of the letters of يرملون, the letters of إضغام of نون ساكنة, the letters of إلحار, الحروف الحلقية, the throat letters, and the one letter of إقلاب, which is باء. All the other letters are letters of إخفاء. We have زاء, we have سين, شين,
فاء, like
ضاد, فاء. Okay, so how do we apply ikhfa? In order to apply ikhfa, we have to... First step is that you don't pronounce noon from its place of articulation. You get rid of the place of articulation of noon. Then you have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa. Here we have a z. Anzal. You hint the place of articulation of Z. It means that you don't make the articulators touch the place of articulation of that letter.
Yes.
Instead, you make the articulator get really close to the place of articulation of that letter.
And keep it there.
You keep it there, and at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. أنزلناه. If you say أنزلناه, you make it too... make it get too close to Z, then that's incorrect.
And another point is that unlike Idgham, Ikhfa can take place within a word too.
Yes, that's right. Like here we have Anzalnahu, it's in one word.
Yes.
We could also have it in a phrase. But Idgham is only in a phrase, not in a word.
A word. Yes.
Al-Qadr, we have the Qaf with Tafkheen. With thickness, qa, qadr. We have a dal with qalqala, but it has tarqiq, qadr. You have to make sure that you pronounce the dal with tarqiq when you apply
with an empty mouth.
Qalqala. And the ra again has tafkhim when you stop on it
thickly,
because the ra becomes sakin, preceded by another sakin letter, and that sakin letter is preceded by a letter with a fatha, qaf. The qaf has a fatha, so you have to pronounce it with tafkhim.
Qadr.
We have another tafkhim of ra in the word adraka, because the ra has an aliful mad.
And this is the highest level.
Yes. We have a ra with tarqiq in the word laylatul qadri. Ri. So here we see that the ra is pronounced with thinness, with tarqiq, because the ra has a
Kasra.
In the word, verse 4, تنزل الملائكة, we have مد المتصل.
A conjunct.
Yes. And Brother Karim Mansouri lengthened it to four vowel counts, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he doesn't have another choice if there is another maddul muttasil. He has to lengthen all of them to four vowel counts because this was the first maddul muttasil, and this is when he has to make the choice between four and five vowel counts.
Yes.
Okay, we have in verse 5, we have a rule of nun sakina, which is ilhar, the manifestation of the nun sakina.
The simplest rule of nun sakina, maybe.
Yes. Salamun hiya. The nun sakina of the tanween is pronounced completely, and the nun is pronounced from its own place of articulation. We don't get rid of the place of articulation of nun, like in idgham or ikhfa. We pronounce the nun the way it should be pronounced originally, just like whenever it has the haraka.
Mm-hmm.
But we pronounce it with a sakin, with a sukun.
And that's because of hurufhul halqiya, or the letters of throat.
That is after the nun sakina or tanwin. Yes. Suratul Zilzal, or Zalzala. This surah has two names, Suratul Zalzala and Suratul Zilzal. Okay, we have al-arudu. We have a ra, which is sakin, preceded by a letter with a fatha. So we have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim, with thickness.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the conditions for tafkhim of ra.
And the final point, brother?
يَوْمَ إِذِن تُحَدِّثُ. In this surah, we have a lot of ikhfaz. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَ إِذِن تُحَدِّثُ. And فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. So these are all ikhfaz of nun sakina, where you have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa.
And as you said, here we can see some examples of ikhfa, which is taking place within a word and a phrase.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bi dhikrak
وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا.
Dear listeners, we were talking about this part of the supplication where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك. والله, I seek nearness to you through remembrance of you, and I seek intercession from you with yourself. Regarding the meaning of intercession, we concluded that the meaning of intercession is the help of a powerful person towards the weak person. And Almighty Allah, out of His mercy, has set the intercession position so that a powerful intercessor can help the sinful believers, and the powerful person can save the sinful believer from wrongdoing and the consequent chastisement in the day of resurrection. So the point is that intercession of the pious intercessors is not going to benefit the ones who have been disbelievers in the world, the ones who have been polytheists or hypocrites. And it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. Then will no intercession of any intercessors profit them. So, intercession, the help of a powerful believer to a weak one who still shows signs of spirituality, is the last phase on the day of judgment that is going to prevent one from being sent to hell, and it brings one out from the hell sometimes. The reasons for the effectiveness of intercession are Almighty Allah's embracing mercy and the high position of the intercessors. And sometimes it has been mentioned that the believers, even though they are sinful, they are worthy of intercession. Based on the Quranic verses and the traditions of the Prophet's household, alayhimu salam, one who is hopeful of intercession should possess belief and good deeds to the extent necessary to be able to compensate for his faults, to be able to compensate his wrongdoings through the divine mercy in the world, and recompense his disability through intercession in the hereafter and reach paradise. Or if he was sent to hell for his burden of the sins, he can exit the hell because of the intercessions. The Quranic verses and the traditions reveal that the intercessors in this world and the next world as well are belief, righteousness, repentance, Holy Quran, prophets, imams, martyrs, and even righteous believers and theological scholars. They have all been mentioned in the Holy Quran and of course throughout our traditions as the intercessors, the ones who possess this station.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg
beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. O Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
As these intercessors save the believers who have had some wrongdoings, these intercessors save the disbelievers from ignorance and help these ignorant people become believers in the world. So that's why in Hereafter 2, they will help the wrongdoers to compensate for their faulty deeds and are thus rescued. Of course, on condition that they are believers and they have had, to some extent, good deeds in this world. Therefore, intercession has its own sphere in Islam, and it is an Islamic principle whose refrainer is out of the sphere of Islam. The Holy Quran itself says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. O believers, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger, and He will give you a twofold portion of His mercy, and He will appoint for you a light whereby you walk. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And He will forgive you. Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate. In this verse of the Holy Quran, belief has been mentioned as one of the intercessors of the Day of Judgment. Dear listeners, we'll try to discuss more about intercession in the next programs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6040 kHz, and in southern Africa, via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kHz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain. Of course, I have my good friend, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. I want to say salam to him. He's an academic and an Islamic scholar who's given us great insight on various aspects of the character and personality of the Imam. And I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program, first of all.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. This program is basically being inspired by something that you said last week in the previous program, which is Islam is a complete package. I think those words are very deep, very profound. And it's true, because there is a riwayat I want to mention here from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who said that in the end times, nothing will be left of Islam except its name. Nothing will remain of the Quran except the cover.